WildTalkRadio.com.
Welcome, everyone, to Monday Night Raw.
Wild Talk Radio presents to you the Monday Night Raw post show.
So, what do you guys want to talk about?
Featuring Sir Rockin.
If you're the man, what the Rock is cooking.
And Lindsay Ward.
Rest in peace.
Interact with us live and give us your thoughts on everything that happens on Monday Night Raw.
And that's the bottom line, because Stone Cold said so.
And if you're not down with that, we got two words for ya.
Because we believe in doing what is best for all of you.
Because after all, what's best for all of you is what's best for business.
Now step into the ring with us for the Raw Post Show.
This is Monday Night Raw!
One change I did not like tonight on Raw is they added Uncle Howdy laughing throughout the track. I could have done without the entire thing having a laugh track on it. But beyond that, this is the Raw Post Show, presented as always by MBG Films, youtube.com/MBG1211. We are close to Bash in Berlin this Saturday, live on Peacock and the WWE Network around the world. This was the go-home win. It wasn't as big of a go-home as you would expect, but a lot of things did in fact happen to make it a more than typical Monday Night Raw. I'm the producer, joined as always by Lindsay Ward.
Yeah, it doesn't lack that, hype that you would expect for the pay-per-view or PLE or whatever you want to call it. But it was still a very good show. It was still very entertaining.
Yeah, so you did not have the world champion on the show. He was already headed overseas because they're doing it. They're already on tour, mm-hmm. So he was missing from the show. You had Randy here on the show, which we'll talk about in a minute. But Raw has three matches. You had all the angle with CM Punk and Drew McIntyre. You had the angle with the mixed tag, and you also had. But you were missing Gunther to have a conversation with Randy, so that kind of stalled the pace. But a lot of eventful things that happened on this show, including the main event of Monday Night Raw, which was the in-ring debut of Bo Dallas as Uncle Howdy.
I like the gear. The gear looks good on him.
Mm-hmm.
And you can tell he's dropped, a lot of, weight.
Yeah.
Not that he looked bad before, but you can just tell that he's really, trimmed up and, he looked good. Basically, he looked good. Mm-hmm. I like the gauntlet, which was made out of the Fiend's gear. That was neat.
Yeah, remnants of the Fiend gear were used to make the gauntlet, since it is now officially 1 year since the passing. So it added a little sentimental touch to the Bo Dallas in-ring debut is 1 year later.
I like that. That was a nice touch. It was over the weekend.
Yeah. I thought the look was fine. I thought the crowd stayed with them the entire time, which was really good. Chad Gable deserves all the fucking credit in the world for being the an MVP of this entire story, selling for the entire Wyatt Six, adding to the presentation of it all. He's done a fantastic job the entire time. He's been the perfect guy. And it's elevated Gable and Uncle Howdy into semi-main event, even though the main event. But it's taken from what could have been just a mid-card, act, to where it's like they're featuring it as like it's a semi-main main event attraction on Monday Night Raw, where it's like, okay, they're both elevated players from this entire production. Uncle Howdy would get the win with the Sister Abigail. You had interferences from Loomis and Rowan and Gacy and the Creeds and Ivy. No Nikki tonight.
Which was kind of strange. I hope everything's okay there.
It just may have been one of those, you know, because they're about giving people days off if they need things. So it may have been one of those something happened and she couldn't be there type deal.
Though, go Ivy Nile for just riding Eric Rowan to the back. Like, good on ya. Like, she just jumped on his back and he just carried her the rest of the way. Like, good for her.
Yeah. So, I thought the entire presentation of Uncle Howdy for the main event was well done. It was a back and forth match like it needed to be because you're also making Chad Gable and all this. And it's like Bo Dallas is possessed kind of where like he's gone to this place because that whatever pain has caused him, it's driven him into this place to be Uncle Howdy. But they're making it clear. It's still Bo Dallas. So it's like he's going to be vulnerable. He's going to, you know, take a beating, but there will be something that comes out of him that brings him the strength to keep on going. Because there was a couple of times tonight where in the match he had to make the comeback, whether it was almost being counted out or then with the mandible claw and then the Creeds taking him out after the ref bump. So it was like he made, you know, it was well done. It was all well done. Props to everyone involved.
He's embraced his inner darkness, as it were, but it's not to the degree of what Bray did.
It's not the Fiend.
It's not the Fiend. And they've made that very clear that Bo is not Bray. And Howdy is not the Fiend. And I like that they've done that, that there's a very clear difference, because they could have just done Fiend 2.0 and perhaps in another era with another booker. They would have done that if they would have done anything at all. But the fact that they are making sure that you understand that this is Bo Dallas. This is Uncle Howdy. This is not anything that you've seen before necessarily. This is not what you're expecting. This is going to be different. I like that they're doing that, that they're giving him his own identity outside of his brother. And we've said that from pretty much day one that they've started this, that is like, yes, Bray will be a part of this. Yes, Bray will be remembered by this. But ultimately, it is about the people involved and not necessarily Bray. And they will have their own identity outside of Bray.
Yes.
And what the Fiend was. And it all ties together. But as this progresses, I feel like they will continue to get further and further and further away from Bray as they make it into their own thing. And that's ultimately what this should become, is that this becomes something of their own creation, that it morphs into that, that it changes into that. And then Bray is just sort of this fond memory in the background that is referenced every once in a great while, but it becomes something different.
Right.
That's what I'd like to see with this.
They're using what he created and taking it and making it their own.
Because I think, and not to like divert this, but to divert this, I think the one thing that always makes me nervous when they do stuff like this is that they sort of use the deceased wrestler's name to just sell tickets. Like, and that's a bad way to say it, but like the only thing I can remember is like Ray's tribute to Eddie and how it went from being a tribute into like a gimmick. And they did it for like a straight solid year where essentially Ray was like using Eddie's identity to get himself over.
He used it for six months. He used it for 6 months to get the WrestleMania and win a world title.
Yeah. And after a while, it just felt very gratuitous. It's like, okay, all right, I completely respect that you have lost your friend, that you're paying tribute to your friend, but this is a bit much. Like, if you want to call back to it every...
There was no character development coming out of it with when Ray did it.
Yeah, yeah. And I think that was the biggest issue that I had with it. And that's why it's like with this, they're like, oh, it's going to be a Bray tribute. It's like, oh, okay, let's see what they do with it. But they're doing it correctly. They're doing a really nice job where, again, he's present. You feel him there. You feel his influence. But it's not, I'm doing this for Bray. I'm doing this for my brother. Like the promo that Bo cut earlier in the show didn't mention his brother.
No.
It was all about Chad Gable and the fact that Chad Gable is a false prophet. And that's why he's going for Chad Gable, is you're lying to people, you're harming people, you're forming families, and then you're destroying them. And they're never really true families because you're lying to people. And it was a really great promo by Bo Dallas, not Uncle Howdy. It was Bo Dallas cutting it. And you had like insets of Howdy coming in and out. But it was a really intense promo by him that really kind of showcased what he could do, because he looked just deranged. That's the only way I can describe how he looked. He just looked crazed and deranged, and just like looking into his eyes, he sort of had those dead eyes going on. Like, it was really well done. It was just really, really, really well done. It's very clear this is not the happy-go-lucky Bo Dallas we remember. It's like, no, Bo's been through some, like, been through some stuff.
Yeah.
And he's embracing the darkness, and here he is. Get ready.
Indeed. So, A-plus effort tonight, A-plus performance. It was what it needed to be on the first go. So it's like, okay, now the key is what happens next, because it doesn't seem he got the win, but it doesn't seem like they're done. I think there's probably one more 6-man tag left you can get out of this, or an 8-person tag, whatever it turns into be. You got one more match out of this, maybe two. Maybe you can do a Creed versus two people type match, but you got maybe one or two more matches, and then you got to find the next. And that's where the key will be, how they go next. But
I
they,
think the key the is...
way, the way they're playing it, they have weeks to do it because they slow play everything they do with the Wyatts.
Well, you have what you could have now is you could have Chad pursue, right? Like, he lost to Uncle Howdy. He's enraged that he lost to Uncle Howdy. He's enraged that the Creeds and Ivy failed, right? Like, you have him just begin to really go after Uncle Howdy and the Wyatt Six and try to hunt them down and try to find them and try to, like, challenge them again, you know, especially with the words of, you know, Bo calling him a false prophet and Bo calling him a liar and everything else. Like, you have Chad take personal offense to that and go for them, and that's kind of how you get to that next match, is it's revenge on behalf of American Made.
Oh yeah, that's easy. I'm talking about the next feud. The next feud, right, is what's key.
Right, and then depending on what that is, like who that is, because obviously, you know, Bo is, for this, it's false prophets, but like, what are they targeting with them? Because you can begin to transition the Wyatt Six over to that next feud. You can start sort of having them begin to move to that next feud after Gable.
Mm-hmm.
Like, you can start dropping those hints of where he's looking next. And that will be really key, because it's like, who on Raw do you have, or who on SmackDown do you have that they could go for?
Not John. No, we're not anywhere near John, because John's not anywhere near the show yet. And I don't think you have them. I don't know if you have them. I don't think you have them. I wouldn't have them interact, because
the one thing. Sorry.
That story, like Cena's story, is going to be about big matches and big moments. The Wyatt Six maybe saving John, I could see. That would be the only interaction I would go for, because I don't think a match between Bo Howdy and John Cena is something you need to do.
It would be a good match, but the one thing the Wyatt Six aren't necessarily doing is seeking revenge for those who had wronged Bray. You haven't had them go there yet. They're not on the Bray Wyatt revenge tour. They're just on the whatever it is tour. So, and they haven't indicated that that's what Bo's going to do.
Yeah,
because Bo has his own vision of what this needs to be.
Indeed. Other things that happened on the show, the Intercontinental Title Championship Contender Tournament started with triple threat matches. One was Jey Uso, Kofi Kingston, and Karrion Kross. Jey Uso got the win.
Let's go.
The other was The Miz, Xavier Woods, and Pete Dunne in a triple threat match.
This was really fun.
Pete Dunne got the win. So there you go. So I think it's what it becomes a... will end up being a four-way for the tournament, because there's two more qualifiers next week, I think. Yes, two more qualifiers next week, and then those four will battle, and then the next person will get the title shot at Bron Breakker, who, you know, no one from Jay's family has ever beaten him, so he doesn't think Jay will do it. So yeah, good stuff. I like both matches. Both matches were really fun.
I thought the second match was a little bit better than the first, just because you had a different dynamic in it. But both were excellent. They were very, very, very good.
And you would think with the performers, it was like, these are the Miz, Woods, and Dunn are like, you would say would be the underdog type performers who would not have the better match of the two. But it was good that they did. The big thing that happened on this show between Big Bronson Reed and Braun Strowman was not the match that happened in the ring. It's what happened afterwards, as they got double counted as they were fighting in the ring. They fought to the outside. They were, you know, he got thrown into the video board, and then they made their way outside, trash cans and all the things, and security guard chokes them to a table, catering table, just happened to be there. But then they were in the parking lot, and then Strowman got chokeslammed onto a car, and then Bronson onto a car, and then Bronson would recover, and then he would do the tsunami off of like a barricade onto top of a car,
which looked like it hurt like hell.
Yeah, like I heard like earlier today, I was like, "There's gonna be a big moment," and it wasn't gonna be a ring break. I was like, okay, so what could it be? I was like, are they going to go through the set? And they got to the set. I was like, okay, they're not going through the set. Then they went outside. I was like, oh, okay, I see what they did. That was really cool. Nice way to take it from in and out and let the big men battle.
Absolutely.
So that was a lot of fun. The women were in action. It was Io Sky and Kairi Sane taking on Shayna Baszler and Zoe Stark. Solid match. Io and Kairi got the win. Zelina Vega returned after a few weeks being out with selling the injury. She helped Damage Control get the win. So she may be their third for now since Dakota's out for a bit.
That so sucks. Mm-hmm. But it's a good recovery if that's the case.
Yeah. So.
Like, give Zelina something to do.
Yeah. She really needs something to do on the program. So Drew McIntyre came out to the ring. He mocks CM Punk a little bit because that's what he does. He took issue with the fans continuing to chant for CM Punk. He asked the fans if they know what an enabler is. He equated the fans chanting for Punk to handling an alcoholic drink. McIntyre said the fans would have to live by the scars that he would leave on Punk's body. He said the fans choose nostalgia over the warrior who has been there for them even through the darkest times. And I still forgive you because you know not what you do. He talked about the damage they would do to Punk and the strap match. CM Punk appeared, but not from the entrance, but from behind. He started to whip Drew McIntyre with the strap. McIntyre would end up getting the strap. McIntyre got control of the strap for a moment, but got backdrop on the table. And then Punk started whipping him some more. Good stuff.
Very good stuff. I liked all of this. I thought this was very well done, very well executed. And the beating looked just vicious.
It really did. So it also made a little question. Well, okay, so Punk had the odds in his favor tonight. What does that mean for Saturday? We'll have to see.
They're putting some doubt out there.
Yeah, indeed. The number one contender for the World Heavyweight title, Randy Orton, came to the ring. He thanked the fans and for singing his theme, even though it took them 15 years. He's won a lot of titles, but the one that he loves the most was the World Heavyweight title. He said it was the first title he won. He was the first person to have his name engraved on the belt. Orton said he was given the honor of unifying the two world titles. The company had at the time, and he retired the World Heavyweight title with his name engraved on the title. Orton said the title was reborn a year ago. When he was at home recovering from spinal surgery, he decided he would do everything in his power to make sure his name is engraved on the title, that title belt. The new title, the new legacy. Orton said he will be stepping into enemy territory in Berlin, and that Gunther is a living legend that people, to the people in Europe. He said he also knows he'll be facing a man whose head is shoved so far up his own ass that he doesn't even realize that he'll be facing the most dangerous, decorated, and controversial yet successful superstar in the industry has ever seen in 20 years. He grew up in front of the fans. He signed his first contract in 19. He saw the fans saw him get humbled over and over again and learn from his mistakes over and over again. He said he eventually had to step out from behind the shadows and earn every ounce of respect that comes with his name. Gunther said was the 30-something egotistical prick when he arrived in WWE. Orton said that he might be the one thing they have in common. He was humbled. But Gunther has never been put in his place, and that way it intends to do at Bash in Berlin. Orton blamed Gunther for making this personal when the match simply could have been about the title. Orton said he's faced his demons, and they were tougher opponents than Gunther will ever be. He beat them just like he will beat Gunther to become a 15-time World Heavyweight Champion. And he'll do it by using the most famous letters in the world, RKO.
This was an excellent promo by Randy Orton.
Yes.
Very, very, very good. I don't think he's going to win, just as, you know, a spoiler for when we do picks on Thursday. But it was a very good promo by Orton.
It really, really was. All right, Monday Night Raw, though, opened up with the Judgment Day. Liv welcome everyone to Raw, and all rise for the Judgment Day. Bella said it was time to remind the people what they're all about. We saw what happened last week on Monday Night Raw. Carlito said the video was cool. McDonough said the beating was a long time coming. Baylor said they're not the bad guys. Priest and Rhea are, and they got exactly what they deserve. Liv said that she should be thanking Rhea because none of this would have happened if Rhea wasn't so selfish and egotistical. Dom tried to speak. Dom said that Morgan, while everything that Morgan does for him that Rhea never did, such as helping him beat his father. Dom said he was entering the Intercontinental title tournament for a shot title and had Morgan's full support. This brought out the LWO. Yes, they do exist. Dragon Lee, Joaquin Wilde, Cruz del Toro, and Rey Mysterio back on Monday Night Raw. Rey asked Dom if he looked in the mirror and labeled him a lost soul. Rey said that at least when Dom was with Rhea, one of them had a set and it wasn't Dom. Rey said someone needs to put Dom in his place. Dom said it wouldn't be Rey because he's already beat him. Rey said Dom has always been a jackass, and now he's an even bigger jackass now that he's hanging out with Liv Morgan. We led to a little bit of a fight, but it also led to an 8-man tag team match. Finn, Dom, JD, and Carlito taking on the LWO with the Judgment Day getting the win. Judgment Day were ready to take out Rey through a table, but Damian and Rhea made the save. And in the end, Priest and Rhea put McDonough and Carlito down with a couple big maneuvers in the middle of the ring to end that segment.
I think my one issue with this is with, like, Dom being like, oh, Rhea never helped me beat my father. You fought your father, like, 15 times. Can you be a tad bit more specific about which time she didn't help you? Because I'm pretty sure in all the times that Dominic Mysterio has fought his father, Rhea helped at least a couple.
No.
And if it wasn't...
No, that's the part of the story that's true. He never could beat Rey with Rhea. It was Liv who got him the win. For all those times... Yeah, that's the key to the story. Rhea, when Dom did it alone at WrestleMania because he wasn't fully... Like, they didn't have... Dom couldn't get the win there. Rey got the win. Dom never actually got a win over Rey until Liv became part of Judgment Day. Or right before Liv did, and that's kind of what happened. Rhea never helped. At least. No.
I could have sworn she did. If it wasn't her, it was Damien.
May have been Damien, but Rhea never helped.
I knew it was somebody from Judgment Day.
If Dom got a win, it was because of someone else. It wasn't because of Rhea. Speaking of Damien, go ahead.
No, I was just, that was the only thing I was thinking.
Yeah, no, that is the key. That is an actual, like, statistic, I believe. I could be wrong, but I believe they made a big deal that was the first time he beat his father.
I'd have to go look that up. Where's Brent when we need him?
Exactly. Damian and Rhea cut a promo. They called themselves the bad guys. They never felt so good to be bad. Judgment Day made them villains they can't live without. Priest said Judgment Day members want to play victims. Priest said they don't have to play victims in Bash in Berlin because he and Rhea will make them victims. Rhea said they didn't become the most destructive force by being good guys. We're the devils, and we're coming for you.
A solid promo. A good match between Judgment Day and LWO. Carlito's living his best life right now. I mean, he's just, you know, he's just there. Yeah. But he's doing awesome. He's being fabulous at what he's doing. I love Carlito on the Judgment Day because he's like, yeah, this is nice. Good. Mm-hmm. I'm liking this. I'm on TV. I'm getting paid. All right. I can do this. We're fine. They're all a bunch of, you know, whatever, but I'm fine. I'm good. I'm cool. You know, he's just going along to get along, man. You know, it's like, whatever. Good for him.
Yeah, good on him. I mean, they set the stage for what is to come, and all good. Good win. Good stuff. I'm looking for it. Ray beat Dominic. Damien and Dom won a match against the LWO, but it wasn't with Rhea's help on that one. And I don't think Dom pinned his father in that one. I think that's the key. He never pinned his father.
I was going to say, there had to be a win at some point where I know they beat him, but it was maybe he didn't get the pin, and that's what they're talking about.
And it's more, and I think more specifically, one-on-one. Because that was the first one-on-one where he beat him. I think that was more the key.
Tag well, here's the thing, though.
Tag is one thing. One-on-one is different.
But she shouldn't have to help you beat your father. If you're so much of a man, you should be able to beat him on your own.
Well, you know, sometimes. That's the way it has to happen. The way it has to be.
I'm just saying.
Yeah, that's kind of what they're counting it for. So here we are. But that was Monday Night Raw.
good show as we head to Bash in Berlin.
Indeed, which means we'll be talking about it live this Thursday night on The Rack.
That's right. Tune in. We'll have news, notes, and pick 'em for Bash at Berlin. We'll be talking all about the show and who we think is going to win and who is going to lose. You can tune in Thursday night at 10 p.m. Eastern right here on WildTalkRadio.com or on Twitch.tv/WTR Live.
Okay, Friday night, it is GM Battles, 10 p.m. Eastern, followed on Saturday by WTR Game Night at 10 p.m. Eastern, followed by CB Radio Live at 11:30 p.m. Eastern. Sunday, it's WTR Sunday Wrestle Talk Radio. They will be reviewing Bash in Berlin. We'll be back next Monday night for the Raw Post Live at 11 p.m. Eastern. Well, wow, Labor Day. That quick. Anyway.
Oh, this is going so fast.
It really has. It's at Wild Talk Radio, facebook.com/WildTalkRadio.org. Chat, if you have that Amazon Prime link to your Twitch account, just click the purple rectangular button below the screen. You can also use credit card Rocket Sock or
Lince M. Ward
in the Fortnite app shop, Epic Games Store, and buy all your Wolverines and Daredevils and Deadpools and probably a Daredevil somewhere in there too. All the things, because we are
Hashtag Epic Partners. You can follow me on most of the social medias at Lins Ward, LNSWD. You can check me out on Twitch, twitch.tv/Lins Ward, and you can follow me on YouTube, youtube.com/@SimmaLinsWard, and you can follow me on TikTok, LinsWard0.
This has been the Raw Post Show, presented as always by MBG Fam, youtube.com/MBG1211. We'll see you Thursday for the record. Right back here for the Raw Post Show every Monday night, along the airwaves on the Wild Talk Radio Network.
WildTalkRadio.com.